Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to an episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. And what an episode we have for you. It's a really exciting one.
It's a really exciting one. It's rare, actually, for us to be to be able to claim to have the finger on the pulse. But I think we can. I think we can today.
Our beef is so rare, it's still got a pulse.
Absolutely right. That's it. Our beef is, it's twitching on the slab. We have got two of the writers of the one of the hottest shows in, well, the world, I guess, is how it works these days. Feel good.
I think your finger is moving slowly further away from the pulse the more you speak, Tom.
I'm nervous. I'm not used to being this close to the pulse.
You're not. You're nervous about being so zeitgeisty. That's what's going on at the moment.
Exactly. So the two writers of Feel Good, one of the hottest shows in the world to date. Go currently. We've got the brilliant May Martin and Joe Hampton.
There goes the pulse.
That was the life support machine giving out on both Parry's finger and his pulse. Of course, we should say they wrote the show together. May, of course, stars in the show. It's absolutely brilliant. If you haven't seen Feel Good on Netflix, both series are on there. It's one of the best shows.
Hottest,
it's one of my
shows
absolute
in
favorite
the world.
Well, yes, that's true, but it's also one of my favorite shows. One of my favorite sitcoms in the world, in a long time. It's still, I mean, all of this, let's just take everything I say meaning in the world today.
Great. Okay.
Joe and May wrote the show together. We got them on together to solve your beefs. So have a listen and enjoy yourself.
To date.
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
What a treat. Thanks for doing this, guys.
Thanks for having us. Always nice to have an opportunity to see each other.
Yeah.
Have you podcasted together often?
No, this is our first time.
This is our first time. This could be like the end of our friendship. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's what Matthew, Ben and I have found.
It was the end of our friendship. Weirdly, we're no longer friends, but we spend a lot more time in each other's company. That's the thing with podcasting. So if you don't want to be friends with somebody, but you want to see them all the time, start a podcast with them. That's
the territory that we've been trying to move into for a while.
Yeah.
We've made a TV show together, and now we want to be together more, but less friendly with each other.
Yeah, less social and more constant.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about writing together?
Yeah.
Because I'm always really fascinated by the dynamic. So when we were writing together, one of us would always be a keyboard person and the other one would be like a pacer. And those people would change with whatever combination we were.
That's interesting.
Do you have a keyboard person and a pacer, or do you swap it round, or do you write independently then swap, or what's the dynamic?
By the way, we're talking about like a keyboard as in an organ and a pacer.
Yeah, I assume
a
that.
A pacer is in a metronome.
Keyboard is just here.
Yeah. A pacer was just someone who was running ahead of the person playing the guitar. It was one of those ones you strap around your neck, and we would go, okay, we've got to write a script. Let's do a quick 5K. You play a little bit of Vangelis, and I'll start running.
There's a reason our scripts were all over the place, actually.
I want to know more about your interpersonal dynamics, the three of you. I think three is a really hard number.
Yeah, because you've just said that there's a keyboard person, a pacer, and then what, the dud?
Listen, I have a name. Come on.
we called him the stud. It was less than the blow. No, I think in a three, what you have is essentially three pairs.
Oh, so, interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think what you get is we used to have a combination of three pairs, and normally there'd be a pacer and a keyboard person, and that, like, I'd be a keyboard person in one pair and a pacer in another pair. And
weirdly, Tom was in every pair. That's the only thing about it. Tom managed to finagle his way into every pair, which is good for us. He meant more days off. The day when it was Tom and Tom, oh, it's fantastic.
For us, well, in the outline stage, we had a whiteboard, and I'd say Joe's very much the whiteboard guy. Really good handwriting, just good. He looks good standing up, kind of chewing on the pen, like, you know, it looks cool. And then we write at the same time on laptops and email them back and forth. However, I would say if we're doing like a... by the way, Joe's not going to speak in this podcast.
I already know your dynamic just from the way this podcast has gone. Yeah.
We should say the listener at home, like, Joe's been typing out all of the things that made him say it.
Yeah. He's stood by a whiteboard currently. He's gorgeous penmanship.
But when you say, like, if we're doing a document or something, I'm a fast typer.
Yeah, you type. Whenever people ask a question like that, I always make the same joke, which I think you hate, which is, "May does all the work and I guard the door."
That's such a pointless joke, because it's so true.
I enjoy it. I enjoy the visual of me standing there with a knife, just in case anyone comes in, and they're furiously working on a script.
You've got your writing alone. Room has got one of those little slots. You know, it's like a little mini door about three quarters of the way up that you could look through. Like a kind of there kind of thing.
And Joe just sticks a knife through it in case anyone comes near.
He doesn't even ask who goes there. Just straight a knife goes in.
It's quite an important part of the process. Like, it seems like anyone could be there sticking a knife through a door. But if that didn't happen, you wouldn't be able to write scripts.
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
May needs to feel safe. That's really important. Exactly.
Well, I think also Joe stopping May from leaving the room is the big thing. I mean, he's saying, "You need to write that script, May, and you're not getting past me."
We didn't specify which way the knife is pointing.
No, I think that's it.
It's a little mini dagger with two blades on either end, like a sort of miniature version of what Darth Maul used to fight
Maul,
with.
Darth Maul, yeah.
Yeah, it's very much the, that's what it was. One pointing at May, one pointing through that little hole in the door.
One pointing at himself.
It's three blades. One holding himself to ransom, going, "You need this job, all right? Don't walk out on this." That's it. For us, it was always, we found it very unproductive to actually write anything if there's three of us were in the room. But if we were working out what, like, the synopsis of an episode would be, all three of us would be in the room for that.
Yeah.
And then at the end as well, with kind of polishing stuff, we kind of start and finish as a three.
Yeah,
and then we'd pair.
We'd have days, like, we were writing during lockdown the second season, so we were always in my flat together. But we'd have days where, like, we're just in the same room silently, and you know, at the end of the day,
we're always together.
Yeah,
but there might be times when it just seems like we're just not getting on, and we're at either end of the room. But it's just because we're writing separate scenes, and then we'll send each other
drafts
of our stuff, and. Feel jealous when the other one has done a better job.
The best thing is when you're doing your thing and then I hear Joe, like, snickering in the corner, like this little, like, like this evil, and then I know he's written something really disgusting for me to read in the draft, and and vice versa.
Do you guys do a thing where you would write jokes just for the others, but that was never actually meant to go in the script, but was just sort of meant to, like, test to see if they're actually concentrating or whether they think you're serious?
Yeah, unfortunately, none of us were concentrating. They all went in. So if you watch back any of our stuff, all of the jokes were just for each other.
and just very quickly before we get into the beefs, I know this might be a technical question, but from a writer's point of view, did you have a real whiteboard, or did you have one of those magic whiteboard things that you stick on your wall and any wall can become a whiteboard?
Weirdly, I invested in a massive, massive whiteboard, which is now like a proper one that's just in my hallway, taking up space now. Yeah, wait, what's... I didn't know about this.
I'm one of these portable ones. That sounds great.
You can stick on the wall.
Yeah, so it's like a roll of whiteboard, and you just rip it off and static sticks to the wall and any wall just becomes a whiteboard.
Why didn't we do that?
How big is it? Can you carry it around, or is it the size of a wall?
It's a flip chart size. It's a flip chart size sheet of whiteboard.
Yeah. Oh,
the thing I've got is like roll. Is like a roll of wallpaper or like a roll of wrapping paper. Yeah. But you can just tear off as much as you like and put it on your wall. The one thing I will say is, because we've just moved house, got the office painted, stuck one of those things up, took it off, it took all the paint off. So there's clearly a lot of static in the office.
Well, you use super glue, that's your problem.
Didn't realize.
I feel like my flat already took a beating just from us being here writing, because we like to sort of pass the time, or if we were feeling stuck, we invented a lot of games that involved like throwing balls really fast around. Like there's one where you have to stand and catch the ball behind your back with your hand. Like
one person's got turned with their back and the other throws the ball and then shouts, "Now!" And the person with their back has to grab.
And, it's like almost Jedi training.
Yeah. We did it once. One time we succeeded. And I think it was the best moment of our careers.
Yeah, it was the happiest I've ever felt. Like the moment after hours of trying to catch this fucking hacky sack ball, it was euphoric.
Did you film it?
No.
Oh. But I mean, you know, in a way, in, you know, almost more perfect that it's just between the two. It's a magical moment. Here's the thing. Tom and Ben, that sounds like a dream to them. They would always like, but anytime it seemed like Tom and Ben had an endless supply of promotional rugby balls. You just seem like you always had a different promotional rugby ball and you would always be throwing it around to each other. And all I would be thinking is, what's going to happen is it's going to land in the pint of water next to me and go all over my laptop, and that's going to be the end of the day and probably the end of our friendship. So I'm not great around ball games. I'm like a council estate in that respect, you know, no ball games. It's like I don't like, so I think I couldn't be around for that. I'd have to, you know, the amount of prep that I would need for the room. I'd be like, okay, right, if we are going to play this game, we're putting the laptops away, we're putting the water away. I'd remove all sense of spontaneity and fun from it, I think.
Right, and drop some rules quickly and, but the embarrassing thing is like trying to, I feel like that day we were so elated and then trying to tell the anecdote to loads of people, and it's just maybe the worst anecdote. It's like, and then we caught the ball. Yeah. And everyone like, cool, good for you. No, but we caught it. From the sorting
out your beans. Right, well, should we crack into some of our, you're here today to help solve some of our listeners' beefs.
Yeah.
That they're experiencing. What, in terms of your living situation, so you don't live together, but you spent a lot of time around May's flat, is that right?
That is true. I live in a flat a couple of miles away with four other people. So I come here as just a nice escape from from anyone that isn't me.
What's
God?
The...
Yeah. So you're right in a flat share in a bit, isn't it?
Four. It's big though.
What's the makeup?
It's huge.
It's a big flat. But it's still. I mean, it doesn't matter how big it is if you know you're going to run into four other people at any point in your day.
Yeah,
you know, it could be Hampton Court. You're still on edge, aren't you? You're never fully relaxed.
Also, Joe's flatmate, I hope we can say this, he's bought a lizard. And
what?
Can we discuss this?
I mean, this is actually my flat beef that I was going to talk about. So we could park it for now.
I tell you what, let's do lizard chat now, because you can't dangle lizard and not deliver immediately. Let's do lizard chat now, and then we'll do May's beef at the end. Let's do that. Yeah. Tell us about the lizard.
Well, so my flatmate, there are a lot of animals in our flat already. We have two cats. I brought two cats into the house, and my flatmate a couple of months ago decided he was going to get a lizard. And so he turned up one day with the big vivarium, then a couple of days later, a little bearded dragon arrived.
It's called Blueberry.
He's very sweet. He sits there on a rock and does nothing all day. But the beef has come about because Blueberry eats insects, and mainly he's got these worms that just sort of look like wood lice. But my flatmate said, oh, he also will really, really like locusts. And I'm going to get some locusts for the flat.
Remember the Bible, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, one of the plagues.
Yeah.
It's the first thing you think of when you hear locusts, isn't it?
Yeah.
You think a plague of. you know.
Yeah, play golf.
You know the other things Blueberry loves? He loves blood and boils. Those are the things he's really into.
And firstborn children. Yeah. But my flatmate promised us that no locusts were going to escape. It was going to be absolutely fine. He was going to be really careful. And we said, okay, you can bring locusts into the flat, but if one locust escapes, no more locusts, and we have to have a conversation about where the Blueberry stays. So the locusts came in, they were transferred from, they're delivered in egg boxes, which is a weird way to transport a load of insects. And so you have to get them.
Do you get like six in an egg box? Is it like one locust per egg bit?
It's about 300 per egg box.
Oh, okay.
So he had to transfer them from this sort of egg box package into Tupperware, where he just keeps the locusts. And he did this on our terrace. And it seemed to work. But then last week, I was here, actually, and got a text from another one of our flatmates with a picture of a little locust on the terrace saying, is this a locust? Yes, this is a locust. I'm pretty sure that's a locust. To which Blueberry's owner says, I'm really sorry, guys, but I'm learning.
You're going to have an infestation.
I'm learning.
So this all blows up. I go home. We're talking about locust gate on the terrace a few hours later. And then onto the table in the middle of the terrace jumps another locust.
Oh my God.
So now there are locusts loose. Then last night, there's another addition to locust gate.
I haven't heard this bit.
Another one of our flatmates posts on the group going, guys, what do baby locusts look like?
No.
And takes a photo of loads and loads of insects on the wall in her room. So I jump out of bed, run into her room, I go, where are the locusts? It's just a moth infestation, so it's fine. Okay. We just have moths.
But you're on red alert.
We're on red alert. Like, no one can sleep. Everyone is constantly thinking about locusts at all time. If there's a movement, out the corner of your eye, everyone thinks it's a locust.
I like the, thank God it's just a moth. I mean,
moths can also really fuck up your house as well. Mm. They can eat your carpets. They can eat your clothes. Do what you need to know, though, is do locusts eat moths?
Eat moths, yeah.
Then you might be able to have a sort of little mini kind of war in the flat.
You're into a kind of like the lady you swallowed a fly situation. Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Because
then you've got Blueberry there, who's got a lot of eating to do. Already, they've got to get through 300
locusts.
You're
going to need a plague of bearded dragons to deal with it.
How big do dragons get to? Sorry, mate.
I think they get to maybe a foot, maybe 2 foot. Like they get quite big. Like it's going to be a sizable thing. At the moment, it's about 4 or 5 inches, but he's going to get huge. But I guess like one of the answers we came up with is we're going to tie Blueberry. We can't let Blueberry loose in the flat because we've got two cats. He'll just eat him. So one of the answers is we're going to tie him to the end of a stick and just sort of float him round the place and point him at any locusts or insects that we see. Kind of like a miniature reptile Hoover.
Those grabbers you pick up litter with.
Exactly. But I don't think that's the solution, which you guys need to present us with.
My solution is more chaotic. I like the chaos. So I've been looking into it, and I found on Amazon that they do sell rubber locusts, and so I think you should be hiding them everywhere. I think you should invite the chaos. I think, like, just to freak out your flatmates.
But this was your idea when the initial locust infestation came about, where we thought that there was just one and it had been dealt with, and May said, I'm going to go on Amazon and buy a bunch of rubber locusts. We're going to hide them around your flat. It'll be really funny. But now that you know there's a locust infestation in the flat, your answer is to hide more locusts around the flat.
I think the thing is, what you need to know about May is she's been waiting. I mean, like, I asked her about breakup advice about 4 years ago, and she told me to buy loads of rubber locusts, and she ordered them. Like, it's her answer to any problem is rubber locusts.
What you don't realise is May made most of her money as a rubber locust magnate. She's got a big warehouse out in Staines that's full of rubber locusts. If she can ever offload them, she's like, oh, I'll tell you what, let's buy a load of rubber locusts. I'll tell you what, you pay for them on your Amazon account. Check out who you're buying them from.
I got fucked over in a pyramid scheme, and I've been trying to get out for years. But also, but what about this? Not that I'm pushing the rubber locusts much more, but what if the living locusts arrive and then they go, oh, this place is already taken. It's full of locusts.
Like, although, because they plague, I can't imagine any locust is like, oh, another locust.
Isn't it effectively like a locust would arrive and be like, this place is full of sex dolls? Guys, get to the sex doll place. Sure, there's moths, but there's sex dolls.
Yeah. I've had the best day ever. I've eaten 40 moths and I fucked a rubber one of me.
Feel great. Locusts, their vibe is that they strip the foliage and then leave, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah.
Have I got that right?
Yeah.
So yeah, have you got plants? Well, have your house plants, are the house plants on the scene? Are they taking a battering from the locusts?
The main thing that me and my flatmate did during lockdown, because there were just two of us last year, was buy houseplants. So the place is it's a rainforest. So it's a bad environment to release locusts into.
Yeah, they're going to absolutely go nuts.
But cool.
I don't know what to say.
I'm so excited by this, though.
I mean, Clarky would love to go.
I think if you put... Yeah, I mean, open it up as an attraction. I think a locust house. £2.50 a pop.
House.
Yeah, come and have a walk around.
Drive on the butterfly house at Kew.
Yeah.
See the locust house. It's cheaper. It's not as good, but it's cheaper. Crucially, if you're a family on a budget.
We've got a moth room. That's our latest attraction. You know, we're expanding. We've got a gift shop. You can buy rubber locusts. Come down. We've got it all sorted. I was going to suggest a trail of houseplants away from your flat to somewhere else. Like, they'll follow the foliage.
Just stay away from my flat. Like, I'm worried about Joe coming around to write, and he's got locusts crawling out of his eyeballs and stuff, and they're dropping off into my flat and then spreading. Because I'm picturing him becoming like the mummy or something, where he goes like, and then they all fly out of his mouth.
Yeah, don't get... If you are planning on using your teleporter, I wouldn't use it in your flat in case you turn into, like, you know...
Half man, half locust.
Half man, half locust, exactly, yeah.
Oh.
It's one of two ways, isn't it? You either fill the house with more foliage until they kind of basically feel like they've had a proper meal. Like, get a load of small trees, stick them all around. They'll strip the trees and then they'll move on to the local park. Or you open locust house.
Nobody's talking about the rubber locusts anymore. Are we done? We're off. I can get you a really good deal.
Yeah.
I also feel like no one is talking about getting rid of the locusts.
Yeah.
The only solutions we've had so far are rubber locusts for the locusts to have sex with, more plants for the locusts to feed on, or just embrace the whole thing and live.
Monetize it.
Monetize the locusts.
Why do you want to murder these poor locusts? They've got every much of a right to live as you do, Joe. Come on. Yeah. We're all God's creatures. That's true.
I wonder if they're good to eat.
Oh, there's going to come a time in the future when the water wars are happening and the earth is a parched wasteland. We're all going to be eating locusts and grinding them into burgers and things.
They do it on the street in Bangkok.
Really?
People come up to you and they're like, would you like a fried locust? But I did find out that that's not something that Thai people eat at all. It's just a way for them to go, let's see if those tourists.
That's really funny.
Hey, you liked eating it. How'd you like to fuck a rubber one? I've got one over here.
So hang on, are we saying that Locust House could be a restaurant in 10 years' time?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's good.
There are some places, right? I mean, when I was in Vietnam, I went to the alligator park that you went and looked at all the alligators and then you ate an alligator afterwards.
The
guy took us there because we didn't eat meat, but we said we're pescatarian and they didn't really know what that was. So our tour guide was like, well, alligators, you eat alligators, right, don't you? And I was like, no, because we're pescatarian. He's like, yeah, but they go in the water. And we were like, yeah, no, so we ate an alligator.
Eat locusts because they're a pest.
Oh my god! Yeah.
There you go.
Was it a bit like going into a fish restaurant, like picking a lobster? Did you choose the alligator that you
No. It was from the farm. It was from their park, but they weren't going, which one do you like? Because also,
I think that's fine. They're evil.
They are bad, yeah, aren't they?
They are.
They're certainly
bad.
In fact, yeah. Lobsters and alligators, they certainly look pretty. They look bad. You'd paint them as bad guys in the cartoon, wouldn't you?
Not lobsters, not for me.
No. I think lobsters look quite. Yeah, they do look sweet. Yeah. But it's the alligators. Is the beady eyes? But you don't really
lobster's
have.
Lobsters got beady eyes.
What? I was going to say what. You never stare into a lobster's eyes and think, "Oh my god, I could go for a swim." They're like two black beans on stalks, aren't they? They've got fuck off claws.
But what I'm trying to tell you is,
I'm scared of lobsters.
Yeah, that's what we're getting at. I've been trying to think of a pun with pest and pesto for about 5 minutes now. Anyway. It just, well, you know.
Tell you what, if you think of it at any point in the next week, this goes out on the 15th, you've got plenty of time, just record it and we'll drop it in.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Right, so is that our beef? Is that beef solved for Joe?
I believe it is, yeah. We've given Joe plenty of options, none of them to get rid of the locusts, but they're all great options. I think locust house is the winner for me.
Same.
Joe, how are you gonna go? What do you think?
I guess Locust House, because you know we've just finished series 2 of Feel Good, so technically I am unemployed at the moment.
yeah. And also, you could set it up as a rival to Soho House or Shoreditch House, you know.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Have you been to the terrace at Locust House? Yeah.
get a big glass swimming pool just jutting out the side of your flat. Fill it with lobsters. Then you've got lobster pool and locust house. Everybody's dreams is to swim with lobsters. But I think
that's really clever, actually, because the thing that I don't love the idea of is loads of people coming in and out, you know, paying their money, looking at the locusts. I like a membership where
membership.
People can come by, the same people come by every day. They enjoy the place. They work there with the locusts.
They use your Wi-Fi with the locusts.
But you know what, actually, because there are things like, there's like cat cafe and there's goat yoga. You know, locust Wi-Fi could be a thing, isn't it? You know, people go to the cafe, the cat cafe, and the cat's all just wandering around and you can stroke a cat. And then there's the, you know, the yoga you do when goats are just around, like wandering around to sort of
I've not heard about this goat yoga.
Yeah, goat yoga's a thing. People do yoga in the same room as a bunch of goats. Locust Wi-Fi, that's, you know, you make it new, like you get Grazia to do an article on it and ka-ching ka-ching, you know.
Yeah,
you make
sorry.
Money.
I want to hang this? On with Tom here.
Yeah, so wait, what about this? Instead of membership cards, everyone gets a rubber locust.
Your
membership number.
Everybody wins. That's it.
It's key a gorgeous rings. Key ring. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Shall I read it?
Yes, if you would, please. Yeah.
Okay, ready, everyone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you read it out loud, please?
Okay. It's from Chip. Hello to the supposed, in brackets, problem solvers. That's quite passive aggressive off the bat. Uh-oh.
I mean, what a start from our friend
what
Chip.
What the heck?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a point.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you catch more flies with shit. What's the phrase? Catch more bees with honey.
Locusts.
You don't catch bees with
you can't catch more, are you saying more shit. Are you saying that I need to spread more shit around my house?
Yeah,
to catch
not a
the
bad
moths
idea.
And locusts.
Listen, it's going to affect Locust House reviews online.
I was really enjoying Locust House until the fly room.
Okay, hello to the supposed problem solvers. I live with my parents and... Okay, so Chip lives with their parents. I live with my parents, and I was going through a cupboard a few weeks ago when I found some magazines, presumably belonging to my dad, of lingerie models. This is probably a very common occurrence, but there's also a magazine of underwear modeled specifically by the female cast of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. My main question is whether I should burn them, but I'd also like to know whether you think I'll ever be able to rekindle my celebrity crush on Allison Hannigan. Thanks. Chip. I'm not giving my real name. My parents might hear this. sort of doubt it. And things would go things would go also, downhill.
If Chip's parents listen to this, they're going to know it's them. They're not going to be there's someone else who's got a stash of Buffy the Vampire Slayer models in lingerie in the cupboard.
This sounds so familiar. Yeah. The only difference is we don't have a son called Chip.
Yeah. So hang on, can I just get this right? One of the magazines was specifically the cast of Buffy the Vampire Slayer wearing lingerie. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know when they would have or why those actresses would have done that.
It must have been like a sort of Loaded magazine or FHM shoot back in the 90s, right? Or back in the early 2000s, right? Would that be it?
Yeah, Crosby, have you got this magazine?
Yeah.
I'm Jim's dad.
Oh, you're like, from 2001 issue of the July edition.
July.
But I don't understand why the Chip says, will I ever rekindle my crush on Allison Hannigan? Like, surely the photos of Chip's acting like the photos have put Chip off Allison Hannigan. What are these photos?
Just because you're sharing the crush with one of your parents shouldn't affect your crush, right?
Yeah, is agreed. That, like, me and my mum both example. Fancy my dad. but also, Chip assumes that these magazines are Chip's dad's. They could easily be the mum's too.
Sure, yeah, exactly. And I think
maybe she was buying lingerie,
and she was
wanking.
To be fair,
or both.
Yeah.
I mean, she was just thinking, what did Sarah Michelle Gellar wear back in the day? I'd like to wear that. It could be both of them together. Think about that, Chip. It could be your parents, you know, they're looking at these pictures together. They're doing a little role play. One of them's playing Spike, you know, one of them's playing Giles, you know, whatever. You know, they're just having a bit of role playing fun.
I think the role play is Spike and Giles wanking over pictures of the girls in lingerie.
You've read my slash fiction, yeah. I think the main thing you shouldn't do is burn them. I think that
you've got to douse them with holy water.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to embrace the fact that your parents are sexual creatures with urges, and that's healthy. And
see it as an opportunity for bonding.
Yeah, and also that's a relatively tame. I mean, really tame. Like, yeah, it could have been so much worse.
Yeah,
it could have been. The X-Files or something.
next time you're all in the front room, you could say, I fancy watching some old episodes of Buffy. Whack it on. Judge from the reaction of your parents which one you think it might be.
I'm glad you said whack it on there.
And you know, like, you could put it on and kind of you might get a read a bit, you know, a bit like Hamlet, the play's the thing, you know.
Yes.
You kind of, like, you know, put it on, scrutinize your parents, see which one is giving off the vibes. Yeah. And then
the scenario is Chip also just wearing lingerie to really hammer the point home.
Yeah.
Just in case they didn't understand what Chip was getting at.
Lingerie and a red
wooden stake. Yeah, a wooden stake. and some fangs. I don't think you're trying to arouse your parents, but I think you're trying to connect with them, you know, in a healthy adult way.
Did I misunderstand the beef?
The beef was that Chip wants.
The beef is,
how do I arouse my parents?
I've discovered the way that I've been arousing my parents whole time is wrong. My mum or dad is into Buffy. How do I facilitate this arousal now?
Right.
But I never understand why people, like, the lingerie, like, porn exists. So I don't understand why it's like, it's such a sort of, is it so that if they get found, they're not too embarrassed? Like, why not just get porn? The dad or the mum.
Is that the answer? Sit your parents down and tell them about porn.
Yeah.
Guys, if you've been getting off to this, then this is going to blow your fucking minds.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, that like, sometimes it's like, porn's like a bit much straight off the bat?
Yes.
And you kind of feel like, warm just want, yeah, just
yeah.
Like,
are you towing?
Clarky, are you talking us through your morning routine?
I can't go BDSM before 7 a.m. That's Clarky's motto.
Start with TVAM and then work your way up.
Yes. But you're right, though. It is a bit much. Like, a lot of people read erotic fiction instead.
Yeah, this
because
is like
it's
a
an
nice
easier
halfway
way. It's
house.
A nice halfway house. Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah.
Has also, anyone ever done any Pappy's erotic fiction or erotic art?
It's out there. It exists.
Yeah, there is. No. There is some slash fiction of the three of us getting it on.
You're joking.
No, it's out there.
To be fair to Clarky, it's very well written. For someone who's not used to being at the keyboard, he gave it a really good attempt.
But there was another sketch team was called the Penny Dreadfuls. I don't know if you remember them.
Yeah.
Humphrey, David, and Tom, who there was lots of like all of us getting it on in various permutations, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this was a real sketch fanatic, a male sketch troupe sketch fanatic. Wow, that's amazing. There's some feel-good fan fiction too. And weirdly, someone's taken, I mean, not weirdly, I'm very happy for people to do it, but interestingly, someone's taken it and set it in like the 1100s. So it's like Lady George and her maid, May, and I'm the maid that's this like nervous, bumbling fool. And then George is like this strict lady of the house.
That, the thing is, you said no to all of these storylines when I pitched them for the TV show. So like I've got to let it out somehow.
Yeah, true.
I was going to say that's pretty much the kind of role play that you end up doing in the show.
Yeah.
Isn't it? When you do your role play scenes, that's basically it. I mean, yeah.
You've got to cater to what people want. So if that's what they want to see.
If it's not out there, why not write it yourself? So is this our suggestion that you actually write some erotic fiction about your parents having sex with the cast of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and just leave it about the house?
I think that's it. Yeah, that's
and
what
Chip, should, you should thought do. We weren't going to solve your problem properly.
I like May's suggestion of replace it with porn and move them on to the next level. Just give them a friendly nudge on.
That's the Locust House suggestion. Just use it. See where this goes. Let's expand.
What kind of porn? All of our answers are kind of porn, can you? You can't go sort of straight away.
But they're at level 4, right?
Oh, I didn't know the code. Go on, what's level 4?
No, I'm just kind of thinking. I'm thinking level 1 or 2 is like things that you have to use your own imagination, like catalogs. You know, kind of think like stuff
IKEA.
Like that.
After the Argos catalog.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you look at a bed in an IKEA catalog. What could happen on that bed?
If only it was the 11th century.
There's a commode. And then 3, 4 is like 3 or 4 or 5 is like sexy underwear. That's the stage that they're at. You want to you want 6, you know. Oh no, I think 5, 6, 7 is kind of, you know, old school photo buying the shops, top shelf.
Like
and stuff.
Like a 70s edition of Playboy, maybe. We're talking.
Here we go.
Tons of pubes everywhere.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Airbrushed, like airbrushed centerfolds with lots of, you know, lots of pubic hair.
And then anything 6+ is modern day grot online, isn't it?
We can't stress enough. This is the levels, not the age. We should just say that, which is not, not like a children's toy where it's like, it's got 6+ written on the outside.
And Tom, how high does this go? I'd happily sit here all evening listening to you go, and we get to 500, 600.
We're in
that's you're doing it in space.
Tom's leading in level boss. That's all you need to know. Tom's typed his initials into the end of pornography.
Don't go to level 500 before 12 p.m. though. Please, guys. It's just... I think shifting them on to the next level might open their mind and make them live longer, ultimately.
Wow. Sure, okay. How that works, but okay.
Oh, beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So this is a small beef, to be honest. A small chipolata in the beef world, as opposed to the large beef pies with extra beef gravy that you usually deal with in your podcast. I feel like someone is vying to get on the podcast with this.
Yeah. And it's worked.
Can I just say as well, the way you started that, you're a phenomenal actor. I thought that was you talk. I didn't realize you were reading the thing out, even though I'd read that before and I'd sent it to you. I was like, oh, he's like editorializing on this. But then I realized seamlessly, you've got chops, man.
Thanks very much. As I said, I am unemployed at the moment, so I'm taking offers. This person says, we have an ongoing beef in our office as to whether food times are breakfast, lunch and dinner, or breakfast, dinner and tea. I'm very much in the dinner and tea camp. In the evening, I have always said that I'm going home for my tea, and those who say they're going home for dinner just seem as if they've missed out a meal, in my opinion. Someone will then always throw in the, what about afternoon tea? I'm saying this in a sarcastic voice. But the last person to throw that one in didn't drink tea, only coffee. So it would have to be afternoon coffee, which isn't a thing. And therefore, we have chucked that out and told them that they are an idiot. I know this is only minor, but we need you in your role as the beef justice to solve this once and for all. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Big Tone.
Big Tone.
Big Tone.
Big Tone.
Big Tone. Wow. Big Tone. Thank you.
I feel like this is going to be a deeply personal thing. Should we just go round and just say what we think? Joe, we'll start with you.
My thoughts are, well, firstly, I was when I read this, I was slightly annoyed that this wasn't anything to do with a flat or a flat share or housing. It's a beef that they're having with people in their office. But that, that's a different issue.
We don't know Big Tone's living situation. He could be sleeping. Okay, yeah,
he's working from home.
That's true.
Yeah.
I abhor the idea of breakfast, dinner, and tea. I'll just about let someone get away with saying what are you having for your tea, as in your dinner, your evening meal. But to say dinner for lunch is it's an aberration.
So I'm North American, so obviously I'm breakfast, lunch, dinner all day long. But I'm wondering, Joe, do you think that that's because you watched American TV, like that you feel this way because you watched American television growing up and you've somehow lost track of your heritage?
My heritage being people saying dinner for lunch.
Yeah, breakfast, dinner, and tea.
Okay, yeah, this writing partnership really is over.
Well, I don't know. Is that what people say here of a certain generation? Would people say?
Is it a North-South divide?
I think it's geographical.
I think it could be. Yeah.
This is where it's exciting to hear from some Midlanders, because you're right in the middle.
You don't often hear that sentence.
Because I'm the same as you, Joe. I'm a breakfast. I'm like Colin Farrell. Breakfast, lunch, and fucking dinner. But Parry and Clarkey, where do you stand?
That's a level 100, by the way.
I am a breakfast, dinner, tea, I'm afraid to say.
Okay.
What are we having for tea? It's tea time. Gotta go home for my tea.
But what about lunch? Are you saying dinner though? Are you not saying breakfast, lunch, and tea?
Well, I think dinner or lunch can interchange for me without it being a problem, because you have dinner ladies at school.
Yeah,
it's dinner time. You have a lunch box. You pop out for some lunch. What did you have for dinner? Whereas, what are we having for tea? There's no confusion.
Dinner doesn't apply to lunchtime, though.
where did the dinner ladies work at school?
Yeah, you make a good point.
Did you have lunch ladies at school? No, you had dinner ladies at dinner time at school.
Lunch ladies is an American term, isn't it? You've got lunch ladies. Yeah, we have dinner ladies.
So tea's an immovable feast in the evenings, and then lunch and dinner, however you feel. And to be honest, if it's a bit light, if you're having your sardines, it's lunch. Oh, I'm going to have pasta, it's dinner. You know, like, I feel like that gives you tools to play with. And then obviously, breakfast, I call morning munch.
I want to interrogate this slightly, because I don't quite believe you, Tom. My reasoning is, Matt and Ben acted quite shocked when they heard that you would refer to lunch as dinner. And you guys have known each other for a long, long time, which suggests either you never refer to lunch as dinner, you refer to it as lunch, or they refuse to ever eat lunch with you.
Well, that's very true, but that's for different reasons.
We eat lunch in pairs, you should know this. Tom's never made it to the lunch pair.
I'm always pacing around outside. Yeah.
Getting his steps up.
Because I think if they say, let's go for lunch, that's what I'm saying is, I'm flexible. Lunch can be lunch, or lunch can be dinner, or dinner can be lunch. So I'm never going to have a conversation.
Tom, if we were writing together, you wouldn't say, what time should we break for dinner? Would
I'd
immediately think to 7 or 8 p.m. I think you might be more of a lunch boy. I'll accept tea, but I think you're a lunch lad.
I think if tea stays as tea, that's what I mean, then it gives me flexibility. Whereas I don't think the other way allows flexibility.
What?
What do you call it when you tape a lizard to a stick and it's a reptilian? Is that dinner? Or?
I think that's a lunch boy.
A lunch boy.
That's losing your mind is what that is.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm not going to lay it down as law. I feel like it's each to their own on this.
Clarky, so what do you think?
Well, I am breakfast, lunch, and tea. And if I were to substitute anyone, it would be tea for dinner.
Yeah,
so we've
fair.
Got all bases covered there.
So what is this person going to do with their coworker? It sounds like they're all ganging up on this person and being like really harsh with this person.
But I think what we've learned is that it's a broad church and you should be open to all interpretations. Does it not feel that way?
Yeah.
Like if you're inviting somebody out for dinner, I will say this as well. I think dinner and tea, I think if you're eating at home and you've made it yourself, it's your tea. But if you're eating out in a restaurant, it's also
dinner.
You're
making this as you just made pornography.
No, but you're right. You're not going to say, I'm going out for tea at, like, you know, some posh restaurant.
I think that's where afternoon tea comes in. Because, you know, the whole, he was saying, what about afternoon tea? Big Toe was saying that, and they just missed it. That is a different meal entirely, isn't it? If you go for afternoon tea, that's little sandwiches, little cakes, a pot of tea, maybe a glass of Prosecco if it's fancy, but that's it. That's a separate thing. It's a bit like saying, what about nachos?
Afternoon tea, I think, strengthens the case because you have to have afternoon before it.
Yeah, totally.
Which means you're bringing tea into the afternoon, whereas where tea normally sits is at tea time. And when's tea time? It's in the evening.
Is afternoon tea not a reference to the fact that it's based around tea, the drink?
The drink of tea.
Because he specified this person only drinks coffee, and afternoon coffee isn't a thing, which I agree with, but he's focusing his argument around
the drink. I have a question.
I'm getting quite het up about this.
Yeah, I've never seen him like this. I've never seen Joe like this. He's fuming. Also, I have a question. What about supper?
Great question.
Yeah.
Supper's after tea, right?
Yeah, that's it. I think supper comes if you're having like very late. If you're
I think it's very late, and it's often if you've missed dinner, or if you've had a very early dinner, and then like you've done so, like we would maybe right. This is a bit like, you know, it's a bit churchy, but I think we would have a supper like after midnight mass, right?
Okay.
We'd come back and we'd have a little supper before we went back to bed, you know, because that would be
very sexual, doesn't it?
We've confessed everything from the previous year. Time to start sinning again.
That's what when you text someone sup, that's what you mean. You're talking supper.
I actually solve the problem by having 5 meals a day. I have breakfast, then lunch, then I move on to dinner, then I have tea, and then I have supper.
Yeah. What about brunch?
Yeah. Well, and 11s. Yeah.
On the weekends. 11s yeah. I don't count as a meal.
No, I think a couple of biscuits or a bit of toast, that doesn't count. No, crumpets, that's not a full meal, is it? What do you then incorporate a midnight feast? That is a thing I've not had for ages.
That's only when we have sleepovers at Clarkie's house.
I used to love a midnight feast. Oh my God. Did you ever have a midnight feast, May? Was that ever a thing?
I was always quite stressed out at sleepovers with friends, and stressed out by the horror films we were watching, because I knew my mom wouldn't allow me to watch them at home. And so I always felt like this pressure, like I should call her and ask her permission if I was allowed to watch the horror movie. So I was mostly focused on that while everyone was like gorging and having their... Yeah, no, we would have snacks and
Were you scared of the horror movies, or were you more scared of your parents?
Oh, just scared of my mum. Yeah, and my parents. Because I wanted to watch the horror movies, but I was so worried that I'd have to confess that I'd watched it, because I knew I wasn't allowed to watch like plus 16 or whatever movies. And everyone wanted to watch Scream or The Blair Witch Project. I've gone off on a tangent here about films now, but yeah.
No, mate, I was exactly the same. I once went home and said to my parents, look, I'm going to Chris's sleepover on Friday, but they're all planning to watch Sliver, the Sharon Stone sexy film, I know you wouldn't want me to watch it. And they made me call up Chris, and I had to say, look, I've told my mom that we're going to watch Sliver. And he was like, oh no, why did you do that? And I was
mate.
Like, because I was feeling really scared about it, or like, I felt nervous about it. And so I had to make them promise that they wouldn't watch Sliver for me to go to the sleepover. So I had to go to the sleepover with like 5 incredibly horny, angry teenage boys and try and be more value at the sleepover than watching Sharon Stone in Sliver, which is like an absolute losing battle. Because like,
we should have been friends. We would have been watching Mighty Ducks, having a lovely time.
Exactly. And actually, it's a much more enjoyable way. Watch the Mighty Ducks, have a midnight feast, go to sleep guilt-free.
Yeah.
I went the other way. I went to see a rude film in the cinema, but told my parents I was going to see a different film. And now whenever I see anything to do with that different film, I genuinely feel guilty about it. I went to see the movie, do you remember the movie Sirens? Elle the Body McPherson.
Yeah.
It was an Australian with Sam Neill's in it. Yeah. It was like a sexy, in fact, I think it's Hugh Grant in it as well.
Hugh Grant's in it.
Yeah, it might be a good film. It might be worth a revisit.
Hugh the Torso Grant.
But it was about a priest who goes to this permissive life modelling, to sort of go and speak to this permissive life modelling guy for some reason. And it was basically all these women were walking around with all their clothes off. So me and my friends all went to see that, but we pretended we were going to go and see the Bruce Willis comedy North. Do you remember where Bruce Willis is playing like a big bunny? And it's about a guy who divorces his parents. And I didn't know anything about the film. I hadn't done any research on it. But then when my parents said, oh, how was North? When they picked me up from the cinema, I said, how was North? I started making up a plot of the movie. I went into just phenomenal amounts of detail about this movie. I could tell they knew as well. You know, like when you're like, oh, yeah, so deep into this lie. I'm lying. I went to see the Rudy movie. We probably all have a laugh about it, but I was just sweating and going, yeah, I was brilliant. Oh, Bruce Willis did this amazing thing where he like fought somebody, and it's like, I really wouldn't have fought somebody. It's a comedy. It's not one of his action movies. Didn't, you know, shoot Alan Rickman. But yeah, it was...
The thing that I've gotten from this is that Yet again, your kinks, your sexual kinks, are very much related to religion.
Mm. Yeah. Wait, how? It was a horny priest.
It was about a horny priest. Midnight Mass coming back for supper. Like, I feel like we keep coming back to this.
Well, you put sexual kinks on Midnight Mass.
I think it's you.
You're the worst therapist ever.
You hear the sentence, I went to Midnight Mass, then had my supper, and you went to sex straight away.
You're the only one.
You're the one who wants to fuck a Bible, mate, not me.
All of you seem to be very defensive about this. Let's look into this.
So we can unpick this at my prayer meeting.
I think what we've got out of this is that it is unequivocally breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Well, I'm not weighing in because I'm Canadian. I think tea is bizarre. It's bizarre to call it's dinner to me forever. But I'm happy to be outvoted.
Yeah, I think naming it after a drink is just confusing. If someone says I'm on my tea break, you're like, what? You're on your tea break? It's 11:30.
I'll accept it as long as dinner's the last meal of the day.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. But
before supper, of course.
Of course, and the midnight feast. Sorry, Big Tone. That's beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef! Beef solved!
I have a flatmate, and she's lived here for a couple of years, and about a year into us knowing each other, a great mystery took place. So it happened where I woke up in the morning and I came into the living room. My flatmate Rosie, who'd been out the previous night, was, I've said her name, that's all right.
We can bleep the name if you want us to bleep the name.
Nah, I think leave it in. Cool. So I come out, she's like, hey man, oh yeah, I had a really fun night. She's sort of slouched on the sofa. I go to sit down on the chair that I'm sitting on right now, and I jump up. Because what I've sat on is what can only be described as a sodden cushion. So I'm like, that's wet. But not only is it wet, it's like sodden. Like, it's like the cushion on the seat is like it's been submerged in water. So these are the details you need to know. There is no water anywhere else, not around the chair. There's no water on the table. There's no water anywhere. I cradle this sodden cushion, which is now, you know, it's heavy, it's streaming liquid. I take it over to the sink. I'm like, what is this? She's like, I have no idea. I said, did you spill something? No, 100%. She said, I came in last night. I woke up this morning. I came and sat on the sofa. I have no idea. The window's closed. It hasn't rained. So at this point, I Google, can ghosts make things wet? And so I'm looking into every possible angle, but she swears. Sexy. And I'm like, are you sure? Because she came home late. And the crucial piece of information that you need to know here that she says is irrelevant and I think is so relevant is that she texted me at 4 a.m. on the night in question saying, I'm drunker than I've ever been.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, she says, I don't black out. Like, I would remember if I'd pissed on a cushion or if I'd spilled something. But I'm like, something has happened here. That's either you've pissed yourself or something's happened. You've gone and washed the cushion, maybe. But the fact that it wasn't wet around the chair.
Did you smell the cushion?
Yeah. Yeah. So it smelled, it's just hard to, it smelled like sort of salty, is what I want to say. But it didn't smell... It didn't smell like clean water, and I can't discern whether it was bodily fluid. And I squeezed it into glasses. I'm filling up glass after glass. Like, I think it...
What? So it's not sweat, then? It's not like she's, like, sweat a lot and just got it damp that way. This is a ton of liquid.
I can't stress enough how much it's like someone has submerged this cushion and then sort of balanced it on the dry chair. Like, there was so much liquid in it. And neither of us, to this day, she's like, I swear to God, I have no memory loss from that night. I came, stumbled in, went to my bed. We have no explanation for it.
I mean, the thing is, if she'd woken up on the sofa, then that would be, you know, an open and shut, closed briefcase. But this is,
Did you say closed briefcase?
Yeah, an open and shut closed briefcase. That's when it's really easy to solve beef. That's one of our...
I like that a lot.
Thanks very much, yeah. So, but it's... Yeah, because, you know, as somebody who has, you know...
Pissed the cushion.
Not the cushion, but pissed whilst drunk. and not remembered it. You sort of, you wake up in the place and you go, ah, that's what's happened. Because you're in, you're there.
Yeah.
It's irrefutable.
Also, I think you'd have picked up on piss.
Piss is, it's got a singular smell.
And I think even if you've drunkenly pissed and then rinsed, I don't think the piss is going in far. I think you'd have to work. I'm happy to rule out piss.
Really? And what about something else? Like she spilled something and then tried to wash it, or
that's why.
I guess the saltiness is quite interesting. Like, because is piss salty? I don't think it is.
Jizz is.
Jizz is salty. Sweat is salty.
Sweat is salty. Yeah,
have been sweat. There's no way.
It can't have been jizz. You'd have known if your flatmate's able to soak an entire cushion with jizz, she should be in the movies.
Yeah, she should be. And I would have heard about. She would have been boasting about that.
And I'd have called my mom and told her that you guys were going to make me watch that movie, and I wouldn't have been able to go to sleep over. Seawater.
Spilled a cup of brine.
Spilled a cup of brine.
Was there a tin of hot dog sausages nearby?
Had she eaten some pickles?
All I can think is that it was a ghost, and I've really looked at every other option. And when I googled, do ghosts make things wet? Yes, they do.
Yeah, I mean, how salty is ectoplasm?
That's what we need to be thinking down those lines, I think, because since then, nothing's been wet.
So she was so pissed that she brought a ghost home.
And then the ghost jizzed everywhere.
We've all done it. She fucked a ghost, guys. She fucked a ghost. Have there been any other ghostly things happen in the house? Is this the first and only time that you've seen?
One weird thing was there was broken glass in my bedroom, the source of which could not be found.
Not the same night.
Did you? Was the glass from a cup tank full of brine you had?
There were no missing glasses in the house. There was just I came home one day and there was like broken glass on my bedroom floor, and she hadn't been home in days either.
Big bits of glass.
Yeah, like as if a window had broken almost.
Wow. Fucking hell!
That's mad.
One.
That mention that one add. First. That's more dramatic than the wet cushion.
Oh no, I like that.
One thing to add is I don't lock my door. It's a, you know this, Joe. It's a weird thing about me.
Right.
Fuck! This has just made me think about the cushion as well, because I don't lock my door.
Somebody came in,
chucked a load of brine over the cushion, and then left.
That's possible, because it's not that I just forget to lock it all the time, and because I'm in a building, so I figure like the main door is locked downstairs, but my flat door I often leave unlocked. After this podcast I'm going to lock it, but
you should could be after that, this podcast.
A ghost, that a living human.
If it's the unlocked thing, that I'd put ghosts out your mind for that,
came in and pissed, like marked the territory. Maybe the intruder was going to come back and do something later.
But they marked their territory by spilling a cup of brine on a cushion.
Yeah, because we've ruled out piss. Yeah, we've ruled out tears.
Oh, it could have been tears.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, someone came in and cried lots. Oh, God.
It was the previous owner of the sofa.
Why did I ever sell you? You were the best thing that ever happened to me.
And then out, just these sort of stolen moments.
You're not crying a couple load of tears, though, are you?
No, you can't. I mean, that's what's so confusing about the whole thing is the amount of liquid you're talking about here.
I'll send you a photograph for when this comes out, if it's helpful. I have a visual of me holding this, holding it, and I'm draining it into a cup. And
what color is it?
Well, it's not clear. It's like off white, but it's sort of, I mean, it's sort of like piss. It is sort of like piss.
Is it yellowy?
It's not yellowy, but it's not.
Oh, hang on.
It's not like the it's not the dark color that we would know to be piss. It's like
if you've been drinking all night.
When I ruled out piss early doors, you didn't feel the need to tell me that it also looked like piss. As your lawyer in this case, you've withheld some very serious evidence from me.
It didn't look exactly like piss. It looked like it could have been drain water or something.
So did it have bits in it? Did it have nothing floating in it?
What was the weather like that night?
No rain. I asked my Alexa. First of all, I said, Alexa, what the hell happened last night? Then I said, did it rain? And Alexa was like, zero rain.
It was Alexa.
That's possible.
Alexa, have you been crying? You mad AI bastard.
The thing about it, though, is like Alexa, you know, that one of the big problems people have with the Alexas and all that kind of stuff is that they're recording everything we do. Surely
they are.
There's got to be a function. There's got to be a function where you can go, Alexa, playback last night. There's got to be some sort of little hack that goes, playback what happened there. Because if you could,
I bet there's secret hacks. Yeah,
there's got to be. You know, there's got to be someone must know. Bezos Jeff is going to know. He'll know how to do that.
Yeah.
I think you need to get in touch with Bezos.
So you're thinking I shouldn't cast any more blame on my flatmate, or
no? I think she pissed the sofa.
Yeah, I think she pissed it. Well, it was a chair. This is what's weird. It's not somewhere you would slouch unconscious. It's a chair like I'm sitting on now.
I think it's
a spill of some sort. Yeah, that she tried to cover.
Out of her body. I spilt my piss again.
she is trustworthy, though, as a character, right?
Yeah. Yeah, extremely.
But we've all been there, haven't we? You know.
We've all spilt our piss. we've been out, we've had a few drinks, we've come back, we've had our brine. And we've done a piss in a cup, and then we've spilt the cup on the chair and gone, do you know what? It's bedtime.
It's bedtime. I've had me brine. I've had me supper. I'm tired to go. God, I'm fascinated by this, and I don't know the answer.
I don't think it can be known. I think it's the greatest mystery ever. There'll be a six-part Netflix documentary.
I think you've actually, this is the first time we've ever had a beef we couldn't solve. The soggy cushion. It could be like the staircase.
Have you seen the soggy cushion on Netflix? It's the show everyone's talking about.
Yeah, but people would be like we are now. It would get to the end, you wouldn't have a satisfying ending in the documentary series.
If you get the Netflix money, I bet you could send that cushion to a lab. And they'd be able to tell you some serious shit.
Yeah,
that's really true. Yeah,
you've got to send it to a lab. You've got to have it tested.
And I could get her DNA quite easily. I think she gives up that DNA easily.
It's the flat is lousy with DNA, isn't it?
Locusts and DNA.
Yeah. I think that's what you need to do. Get it to a lab and report
that's
back.
That's how we saw so beef closed is get a Netflix series so you can have enough money to send the cushion to a lab.
Yeah, like that. I like that.
Okay, and then come back on and share the results.
Will do.
Yeah, please do. Guys, thank you so much. This has been really fun.
That was great.
It's been really fun.
I've had a lovely time. Thanks so much for having us.
Do you want to tell us about Feel Good? I mean, everyone knows about Feel Good already, but tell us about the show, where people can see it, all of that kind of caper.
You know, it's on Netflix now, and you know what?
Feel Good 2 is on Netflix right now.
Sick.
And I mean, that's all I have to say here as well. But hopefully, the way that my tone of voice was slightly more enthusiastic than me.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Feel Good 2 is on Netflix now.
That's good.
I love it.
Yeah, I've seen 5 of the 6, and it's fantastic. It's really
congratulations.
Thanks very much. It's really, really, really good. Yeah, you should be really,
so much.
Really, really proud of it.
Lovely to see you guys.
Nice to see you too.
Get to hang out in public or in person.
I think soon.
It's your choice. Public or person. You can take your pick. P or P. It's up to you.
And never the twain shall meet. From the sorting out your beef. Wow, there you go. Loved that. And afterwards, it left us all
feeling good. Oh, I was trying to say feel good. Anyway.
Well, let's hope it made you feel good. How about that?
That is one of the hottest outros in the world to date.
God, it's hard. It's hard when you're being current and part of... I am struggling. I can see why people have these meltdowns.
It's not our usual place, is it? It's very un-us.
I can see why people jump the fence when they're in Celebrity Big Brother. You know, the glare of the attention.
Another show that's not been on for quite a few years now.
I mean, you know, that's how this feels right now. Even just doing the intro and outro, it just feels like, oh my God, suddenly we're in the tab. Are we going to be in the tabloids, you know? God, anyway, what a treat. Thank you for coming on, May and Joe, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you all for listening. If you want more May and Joe, then over on our Patreon in just a couple of days' time, from Thursday onwards, there's going to be an extra bonus beef that isn't included in the main episode. You won't have heard it. It's exclusive just to the Patreon. So get yourself to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare and sign up today. For £4, £4, $5, you get all of our bonus episodes. There's loads of them out there. There's all our Flatshare lockdowns, all our jingles from our Flatshare slamdowns. There is loads of bonus beats with our other guests. There's loads of great stuff.
Ooh,
it's all there.
What a deal.
It's such a good bargain. You get such it, a great you join, deal. You get it there. And if you're a fan of the podcast and you've been listening for a long time and you think, well, you know, it's 10 years this year that I'll be listening to Pappy's podcasts, I really should give something back. It's a great way to do it, because you get a lot more back in return for your money. So please join today. Patreon.
It can really go one of two ways, can't it, that landmark? You can kind of go, I've done it for 10 years. It's
don't,
time to
don't
nip
give
it in
them the
bud.
Other option, mate.
It just feels like, you know, it's a nice round number to either call it
what
a day
are you
or to go
out.
Listen, we were so close to the pulse parry, and yes again, you're flatlining us.
10 years. 10 years at the pulse face, it's taken its course. Anyway,
pulse face.
10 years at the pulse face has taken its course. What the bloody hell are you on about? Can we just stop for a second? And I was halfway through a very decent, and you know what? I didn't use any guilt tactics this time. I was being straight down the middle, just going,
very
look,
positive.
Please join the Patreon. We think it's a fantastic Patreon, full of great stuff. You get a lot of value for your money.
Yeah.
And then your 10 years at the pulse face, it's taken its course.
It's just worth it. It's just
pulsing the pulse face over there.
Just take into account that 10 years at the pulse face may have taken its course. anyway, part of the joy of the Patreon is that the community can all kind of, we all interact together. They send messages and emails. I'd like to read an email that Marie has sent in via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. Listen, dears, get in touch. It's about something we talked about recently, about the Swedish social code, Jante.
Jante, yes.
Jante. Yeah.
This was your code you were talking about, where it's like, don't think you're better than anybody. Is it that? It's that kind of code, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible reading it made for. Hello, Pappies. Just a brief note from a Swede on Tom's story about Jante. The list of rules he read out.
I like how you put a little Swedish spin on the word list there.
Yes. The list of rules we read out are from a 30s novel by Norwegian writer Axel Sandemos.
Well, so can we just say once again, Tom with his finger on the pulse, quoting a book from 90 years ago.
It is true that it has been a part of the Scandinavian social code to act in accordance with the sentiment of don't think you're better than anyone else. However, nowadays, it's almost exclusively talked about in negative terms.
Oh.
Something that should be quashed. Quashing the Jante. That's a good title, isn't it, for a book? People are celebrated for defying Jante. I want to fly, defying Jante. And bigging themselves up. Cheers, Marie. So there you go.
That's good.
Well, that's very much the way kids are nowadays, you know. Very confident and more power to them. Well, anyway, what a
we're
lovely
go
record
and,
this has been.
We're going to go and dig a hole and Tom's going to bury himself because he is officially the oldest man alive. Tom's going to bury himself with all his stereophonic CDs in his back garden. And just let the pulse face take its course.
Look, we've dallied with being current and hip and modern today, and let's be honest, it's not sat right with us.
You're so mad, Parry. We had May on about a year and a half ago. She's been like, it's not like we've suddenly got on a TikToker or something. We've got our friend May Martin, who we've been doing comedy with probably for as long as we've been doing this podcast for.
The glare of the Netflix lights, it's all that, you know, it's like
our show is on Netflix, like, what are you talking about?
it's like drinking, I don't know, bubble tea and going, oh, I don't understand, what is this? Whatever the kids do nowadays, they drink bubble tea, don't they, and ride their scooters anyway. What a treat, eh?
It's
been an absolute treat listening to Tom struggle through this.
If I'd known this was going on in your head, I'm going to listen back to the episode now and listen to you. I'd see how many references you make to cool things to try and get on May and Joe's good side.
Well, look, you know, and for all the new listeners who've obviously come on board for this episode, welcome. And it's not it's not normally like this, but feel free to stick around and see if anything else takes your fancy.
It is normally like this. This is exactly what every episode is like. You're always desperately out of touch.
We don't always have a show on that's one of the hottest shows in the world to date. We don't normally. Anyway,
we should say as well, Tom, have you got the sponsorship read in front of you? Today's show is brought to you by Fidget Spinners. Fidget Spinners. They really are the latest. I can't read this copy. So they really are the latest craze. So get yourself a fidget spinner today.
I can't work mine. I'm using mine as a paperweight.
Perry's just been spinning around it.
Yeah, we've paired with the good people at Tamagotchi to bring you the latest hippest craze. It's going to be Whopper Gangnam Style in your house.
It's like a gerbil. You can gerbil on a screen. I don't understand it. Anyway, today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye. Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. You join us on this glorious sunny day, the sun beating down on the field, the players have taken their positions, and we're ready to start the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Please be standing. Well, he's in there. Whoa, my gosh, an incredible delivery that is absolutely swatted away and into the crowd, and it's hit a lady. Oh dear, that's awful scenes. And the person responsible is Matthew Brady.
Oh, awful scenes there. Disgusting scenes. And
terrible scenes.
The next wicketer stands up to bat.
Oh,
and,
no.
And he steps forward and... A strong step. He takes two steps forward, two steps back. And then he disappears into the splits, as is his usual pre-whacking position. This man really... couldn't give two fucks. He is, of course, James Flux.
He literally can't give two flux after those splits.
Nope.
Because it was awful scenes, actually. Awful scenes.
Awful scenes.
Here she comes now in her inimitable style. She's at the crease. The ball's delivered. And oh, no! She's forgotten her bat! Oh, it's a classic mistake we've seen from our fair cat.
Awful scenes here. Somebody has brought a spade and he's digging a hole.
He's doing
awful things in that hole.
Oh god.
But the good news is it scored him a lot of points.
Hooray!
And he's run up a really big lead. Well done, actually, in your hole, Tom Bidmead.
Very unorthodox.
Very awful scenes. Awful scenes
awful
there.
Awful scenes.
Two steps forward.
Two steps forward.
One step back. Paula Abdul.
Where they go together because opposites attract. And you don't know, it ain't fiction, just a natural fact. They go together because opposites attract. That slogan has been tattooed all over the back of our next player. Who steps off, removes his shirt, his several shirts. He's wearing four shirts. Wears all four of his shirts, and tries to get the assembled crowd to read his back and sing along. But no one is willing to join in. More's the pity. Better luck next time, Paul Velocity. Awful scenes.
Awful scenes. And now awful we scenes. See stepping up to the crease. Now he's gone for a bizarre choice here. He's not wearing anything. Completely biddy bollocks naked. Of course, apart from his favourite Wild Wild West blazer, here he is, Callum Fraser. Oh, and he's out.
Well, he steps up. He's wearing his Independence Day hat. What do you think about that? It'll certainly keep him warm when it gets dark. It's Jimmy Clark.
It's very awful important. Scenes. When it gets dark, you stay warm. Very, very important. Here we have a wonderful player stepping up, and he's wearing his boxer shorts commemorating the movie Hitch. It's wonderful to see him. It's a wonderful movie, and one that we all should commemorate. He is, of course, Steve State. All the scenes.
Can't believe he wasn't wearing his Enemy of the State hat. He's really missed an opportunity there.
Yes, you're never one to miss an opportunity to rhyme the word with the actual word. He's wearing his Enemy of the State hat. It is, of course, Steve State hat.
Oh, and on they come, stepping up to the crease, wearing their their shoes.
Yes, good.
And of course, of course, as the only one in the team to do it, and their socks underneath, and of course underneath that, their legs, and using those legs to run up and down in their very particular style.
Wait, can I just ask, the legs are underneath their feet?
The legs are underneath the socks.
All right, okay, yes.
On top of the feet.
On top of the feet, yes.
Yes, under the trousers.
Under the trousers.
And of course, below the belt.
Yes, Queensbury rules.
And what a shot! There it goes, now then, it's Repsaj Namwen.
Well, let me tell you something. I can just make out that she's got a Legend of Bag of Vance pair of knickers on. Through my tears. That's right. It's Rachel Spears.
Oh,
awful scenes.
Awful scenes. But some wonderful scenes in that movie, of course.
Of course.
That's tour de force.
Let me tell you now, folks. He stepped out. He's done a... splits into a cartwheel. Very difficult manoeuvre to muster, but he's managed it. And as he's cartwheeled, his little skirt has ridden up, and I can see he is, of course, wearing a Bad Boys 2 thong. A wonderful piece of attire for James Husson.
Up he comes onto the pitch, looking fantastic in the afternoon sun, and of course he's wearing his matching jumper trouser combo of After Earth branded merchandise. Looking resplendent, but unfortunately doesn't have the matching sunglasses. Of course, they're very pricey, couldn't afford, but he's knocked it for six yet again. It's Mark Beresford,
yes.
Well, this man's dug a hole. When will he learn? He's in the pursuit of happiness. It's Josh Layburn.
I need to make a small correction to my last my last announcement. I think I called the guy James Hooson. It is, of course, Joe Hooson. My apologies to Joe and to anybody else who
and to James.
And to James, who, as we know, still has yet to fork out to join the Patreon.
The cheaper of the two brothers.
So
the cheaper of the Hooson twins.
The cheapest member of the Hooson family. He's so cheap, he wouldn't even spend threepence for some buns. I tell you who would, though. Cat Muns. Awful scenes.
Awful scenes. Awful scenes. But here he comes to close the batting order. He is legend. It's Django Robinson.
Ah, well, rain stops play. That concludes today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Cheers, everyone.
Oh, take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never come back, and I'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. Oh, it's 1, 2, 3, such are out at the old ball game.
The old ball game.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.